be really interesting to do something on language and slang. Because where I'm from, I have very different words and sometimes and sayings. So sometimes I'll say to a friend, oh, yeah, it's like being at the bottom of the totem pole. And they're like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. So I have to adjust my language to make myself understood. So what I thought I'd do is, when we did this, all the students, we had a big board. I wrote a poem that had a lot of like slang that was from Canada or very kind of, I'm from Alberta, which is like Texas, but it's in Canada. So cowboys and oil and pickup trucks. And so we have a lot of kind of country slang as well. So I use a lot of that in my work because it's where I'm from. So I thought it'd be really good to learn slang. We do a board and we put all the slang words that you'd use in Hackney. So I like to say I learned a lot. There's a lot of words I've never heard before and some that I had and did not know what they meant. So for me, it was just as educational. And that's what I think is really good, that we all had a chance to input into something. So we had a big list of words, and then everyone did their poems using bits of slang or to describe where they're from, or moments where they felt a bit awkward. So I thought I'd read some things that are very, a couple that are very Canadian, so that you can hear some of the kind of language that I use. It's not all slang, but it's very much where I'm from. And I think that's what I was trying to do, is that using your language from where you're from really helps flavor that. So I'm going to read you first a poem about Alberta, where I'm from, which is the Texas of Canada, Alberta. So men come to liquor stores, hands and face turned black with oil. They buy vodka in the morning and six packs of Molson at night. Rawhide boots and jean jackets turned brown from roping cattle sit next to me at the bar. Their hands are rough from twine and pitchfork, but cradle me as I float and fly through the two-step. In McDonald's, the secondhand clothes kids play, their jeans from social services, money from welfare, and a happy meal from mom to show how much she loves them. Those faces mean more here than the bears and moose and wild duck, the beaver and the loon, pictured on t-shirts and mugs now photographed by tourists. We're more than the flat ground rippled with wheat. Those long stretches of highway are interrupted by gridded cities, perfect squares of wide streets and concrete blocks, apartments with grass, SUVs and winter tires, kids playing hockey in the streets yelling, car, before they pass. That is a landscape of mid-prairies, and that is a place called Alberta. I'm going to throw a question out. So what's the sport that you play the most at school, or when you were in school, what's the sport that you play the most? Shout it out if you like. No. Netball? Netball? Everyone netball? What else? Peter, you're saying no? What? Basketball? Badminton? Anyone play football? Football? Now, I played baseball. And that's what everyone played where I'm from. From the age of 5, you see little kids dancing in the field because they have to pee and they haven't gone, missing balls. And so this is what my teenage life was like. So I was growing up playing baseball. So the uniform is socks pulled up over shin pads, polyester trousers with a bright yellow stripe, shirts painted with a bold 7, things I wouldn't be caught dead in. But on the field, no one laughs at those girls in cleats and strangely dyed hair shoved up under caps. It's a game where 13-year-old fast pitches brush by noses make plastic hard helmets a necessity. Pitches start swings and sound off cracks as white ascends into blue, brighter than the fluff clouds of summer sky. Fresh red shale crunches under feet, sprinting for white bag safety while the ball hovers. And leather gloves strain open, testing the working in they got under mattresses pop dreams sleep on. Or from its wrap around softballs, gloves strapped tight and rubbed with creams. Catches, home runs, RBIs, and pop flies. It's those moments of freedom they stretch their legs for. Miss concerts and street corner conferences and flirtations with boys. The smell of long fields, sun-soaked skin, and raked earth gives girls a reprieve from perfume and strawberry lip gloss given to them by well-meaning mothers and aunts. Growing up with baseball gives space to breathe before those girls, turning to women, slump back into black, crank up the music, and hate all parents and teachers again. Thank you very much. I'm going to read my last one here. And it's called Indoor Picnic. And I picked this one. I thought I'd do stuff with all language about Alberta or Canada or things that happened there. But when I was growing up, my mom has agoraphobia. Now, agoraphobia is when basically, people say it's afraid to go outside. But it's basically you get really scared, panicky when you're in situations that you don't know. So my mom was like that. So we stayed in a lot. So we did a lot of things inside. And it wasn't until I was a lot older that I realized that no one else did the same things I did growing up. So we used to have indoor picnics. So we used to eat inside and have a picnic on the floor. And I thought that everyone did that, because I did that. And we don't. And we used to have bed picnics, too. We'd get pizza and sit on my mom's bed, and she'd tell us stories. So those were the most magical moments for me. But my mom, it's because my mom couldn't go out into the world, so she brought the world into us. So this poem is actually for my mom. This is what I wrote for her. And it's called Indoor Picnic. And it has a lot of language. You can listen to language about inside, about taking outside in. So we settle on the plush pile of brown carpet and scan the horizon out of the basement window. We're surrounded by trees and perpetual autumn printed in shades of beige on our couch, love seat, and matching chair. I can smell pledge and lemony spick and span, the smell of every season. It's even nicer when the snow melts and the windows are left open. In rushes the taste of green and grasses that mingle with our egg salad and pink Kool-Aid, helps us eat our carrot sticks and broccoli heads. On the floor under folded legs is the green garbage bag, our picnic blanket substitute. It crackles when we shift, feels cold when we lean before it sticks to our legs. We don't mind so much. Mom's been 7 years here. Don't want to mess things up now and start spilling. So we drink to good health, though we know it's hopeless. Left in fields of carpet, we eat marshmallows stabbed on forks and burnt on the stove. In a way, it reminds us of camping and evergreens and sky, instead of being lost in the land of the housebound. Thank you very much. Okay, so who are we gonna have up first? Who wants to go first? I know, don't rush up at once. Well, we've made her go first. I think Peter should go first, because we've made her go first a few times.
Okay.
Should we do that?